If you have your Bible this morning, would you once again join me in the book of Proverbs? And if you would turn to Proverbs chapter 14 and just hold your spot there, and we'll make our confession together. Just real quick before I do the confession, I'll just mention that we've been going through the book of Proverbs in the month of January. I ask you to join me in reading a proverb a day corresponding to the day of the month. So the day is the 26th. And if you haven't read it yet, maybe you would read the 26th proverb today. And it's been a blessing. I've shared a few messages out of the book of Proverbs over the last three Sundays that we were here. Share one today, and God willing, maybe two more in the next upcoming weeks, because it was just too much to cover in a month, at least for me. But I thank God. Thank God for his word. Thank God for his truth. So if you're in Proverbs chapter 17, if not, keep turning, and let's join as we make our confession together. Even those of you online, we invite you to join us as we make this confession to you. Ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By his truth, I am set free, free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. For sake of time, I'm just going to give you a few verses today if you want to write them down. The first one is a little bit of a foundation verse for us, I say, in this series, Proverbs 2:6. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, and we can just put it on the screen again if you want to write it. It says, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. So we want to know where true, or I'm going to say it this way the Bible shares it, and I'll show you at the end of the message today, God willing. There is a wisdom from above. The wisdom from above comes from God and from his word. That's why it says he is the source of wisdom, and from his mouth, his word has the wisdom and understanding, so important, two virtues that are so important through the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs, like all scripture, has one goal in mind, really. There are truths for us to live by so that we can know God as our Father, we can do his will, and out of doing his will, we can be blessed. So all scripture, and certainly the Proverbs, I've asked you to look for truths to live by. It's not just to learn, it's to live. And it's in the living that we experience the blessing that God has programmed that he wants us to live in. So to know God as our Father and to do his will and to be blessed as a result. And just real quick, once again, just a simple definition of wisdom, especially as it relates to scripture, is skills for godly living. Skills for godly living. Would you say that with me? Skills for godly living. Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14 says, the beginning of strife is like releasing water or opening a floodgate. The beginning of strife is like releasing water. Therefore, stop contention before a quarrel starts. We have a narrow window. Would you say a narrow window? We have a narrow window of opportunity to prevent strife when it arises from escalating into a full-blown quarrel or argument. That's what this proverb says here. So he says this, when it starts, try to stop it, because if you don't, it's hard to, once you release the dam and it's all coming out, it's hard to stop it at that point. So we have that narrow window of opportunity. And then over in chapter 20 and verse 3, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse number 3, we read, it is honorable for a man to stop striving, since any fool can start a quarrel. So today, we'll focus on three causes of strife and how to overcome them with God's wisdom and grace. So three causes of strife and how to overcome strife with God's wisdom and grace. So let me give you the title of the message. It's actually, these words were spoken by someone. I'll show you here in just a little bit. But it's just simply this, four words, no strife between us. No strife between us. That would be the goal, that we would have no strife between us, as whether it's family members, friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord. It'd be great if we just could do that everywhere, wouldn't it? On the job, in the class, neighborhood, everywhere. No strife between us. So three causes and then how to overcome them. Now, if you turn to chapter 13, here's the first one. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 10. Proverbs 13, 10, the Bible says this. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. So one cause of strife, not the only one, but one cause of strife is pride. By pride comes nothing but strife, but with the well-advised is wisdom. There's a contrast there between pride and strife and wisdom. So here's a, if you want to think of pride this way, because pride is not always like arrogant boasting. It can come across that way, but pride is always self-focused. It's always self-focused and tends to be self-pleasing. And that's why it causes so much strife and contention and conflict between us, because it's self-focused. Sometimes, I believe pride can be hard to detect in our own heart at times because it's so subtle. Especially if I'm not just being like overly arrogant and proud and so forth in a way that we might think, but I can be selfish and not be like arrogant with it necessarily, like I'm better than everyone, but I can be so self-focused and self-pleasing that it's still pride, if that makes sense. I believe I have fallen before, and I hope I've learned and growing in this a little bit, but if I mess up, I would get down on myself so hard and just, I can't believe I did that. I should be more spiritual. And I came to realize one day that some of that is pride, because I couldn't believe I messed up like that. Maybe some of you can relate. So whenever conflict arises, it's wise to examine our heart and our actions, because it could be the cause, all right? So I just think it's wise to examine our heart and actions, and then how we overcome. The scripture says, but with the well-advised is wisdom. And if you look over in chapter 11, verse 2, this is how we overcome pride. Of course, you're probably familiar with what this would be. It says humility, but it says, when pride comes, then comes shame, Proverbs 11, 2, but with the humble is wisdom. So contrast of proud, humble, strife, wisdom. And so humility is considerate of others and thinks about how maybe my actions, my attitude, my decisions will affect them. And wisdom is associated with humility. Pride is never associated with wisdom in the Bible. Humility and wisdom go together just like pride and strife would go together. In Genesis chapter 13, I'll read a scripture to you. You can stay there in Proverbs. We'll just stay in Proverbs until the end. But I did want to give you a little background here. Abram, his name had not been changed to Abraham yet, had a nephew named Lot. And they were both very wealthy in flocks and herds. And they were in one area of pasture. And because the land was not able to support all the flocks that they had, their herdsmen started fighting each other. And there was contention and strife and conflict between them. And so Abraham went to his nephew. And this is what it says in Genesis 13, verse 7, if you want to write it down. Genesis 13, 7 says, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. I'm going to skip that last sentence for a reason, okay? Verse 8. So Abram said to Lot, please, let there be no strife between you and me. That's where the title of the message comes from. Please, let there be no strife between you and me and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. When I read this scripture, I realized so often if we're in strife with someone, it doesn't stay confined to two people. He said, let there be no strife between you and me and then between our herdsmen. Strife has a tendency to spread if it's not dealt with correctly. So Abram valued his relationship with Lot, and he trusted God to fulfill his word, because God had told him, I'm going to give you many descendants and I'm giving you land. He just trusted God to fulfill his word. And so he said in verse 9, is not the whole land before you? You're my younger nephew, and I could exercise as an elder maybe my choice, but I'm giving it to you. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. So he was a peacemaker. Isn't he called the father of faith? And as a great human example for us to follow. I skipped verse 7, that last sentence. Would you go back to that on the screen, please? It says, so Abram and Lot, I'm sorry, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And then it has this sentence, the Canaanite and Perizzites then dwelt in the land. I believe that was just a reality. They lived there, but I think there's something more. I want to come back to it, okay? So thank God Abram took the initiative to promote peace. So would you say no strife between us? Would you turn to someone you love next to you and smile and say, no strife between us? So we overcome pride with humility, and we gain humility with wisdom. Would you turn to Proverbs chapter 29 now for the second one? Proverbs chapter 29. And the Bible says this in verse 22. Proverbs 29. Verse 22 says, an angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. So one cause is pride, a second cause is anger. He says an angry person is not just limited to men, but an angry person stirs up strife, and someone who just lives with like fury within their spirit and heart will abound in transgressions. And I've thought about how anger, it can be like explosive, like, just a shotgun going off, an explosion, quick-tempered, or it can be a seething anger that gets down in our heart and just begins to grow and be like corrupting. And out of that, sometimes even a seething anger, strife can come about because we let it come out in the relationship, especially with the one that we may have that conflict with. And I'm sure many of us, I won't say all, but I'm sure many of us have been on both the giving ends of anger and the receiving ends of anger. This message this morning, I hope, is going to help us all just to say, I want to stay close to the Lord. None of us have arrived. Don't be condemned if you feel like, well, how did you know I just got in a situation yesterday? I don't. All right. I'm just saying we're all human. And I know we all have that tendency, and we all need to be reminded. Let's just be honest. And so to have no strife between us, sometimes God, we can deal with anger. There's nothing wrong with being angry always, because the Bible says we can be angry and not sin. But here is the danger. Even when anger is righteous, like Jesus had, here's what the New Testament tells us. Put all anger away. Put it all away, because if we don't, it'll take root in our heart. Then it's going to cause problems. So even righteous anger, we want to handle the right way, trust in God and put it away. And that means sometimes even multiple times throughout a day. It depends on the nature of what has upset us. And so to keep focusing on the Lord, use it to stay closer to the Lord and not allow that anger to take root in our heart. It specifically says don't go to bed with it. How many, I won't ask. I'll just say it makes an uncomfortable bed when you have anger in your heart. You don't get a very peaceful night's sleep. So how do we overcome anger? This was very interesting to me as I was really searching the scripture on this. This is what the Bible says in Proverbs 9:10. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Just keep that in mind, okay? The knowledge of the Holy One, in other words, getting to know God, the Holy One, is understanding. And then this scripture, the last one on this second one in chapter 14. This is chapter 14, verse 29 of Proverbs. And it says, he who is slow to wrath has great understanding. Remember what we just read? That knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So he who is slow to wrath has great understanding, but he who is impulsive exalts folly. So how do we overcome anger? With understanding. understanding. And I thought, man, this is something. The word understanding there means insight and skill. So it's insight into the Lord. It's getting to know him that gives us skill in living a godly life. So understanding, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding, and then someone who is slow to anger has great understanding. So if understanding comes from the Lord, then the better I get to know the Lord, the closer I get to him, the more I grow like him. And I'll say it this way, it gives me a longer fuse. How many know what I'm talking about? Again, we're human, we may get anger, but I won't be so fly off the handle if I'm close enough with the Lord and growing more like him, that is under the control of God's Holy Spirit and helping me to overcome. And if I can walk in that type of understanding and live in it, it'll help me not to be angry in like quick temper or allow something to seethe in my heart that would cause conflict with someone else. And then the third one, if you look at Proverbs chapter 16, so we overcome pride with humility. We overcome anger with understanding. And then this third one is Proverbs 16, 28. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 28. Would you say no strife between us? No strife between us. Verse 28 says, a perverse man sows strife and a whisperer separates the best of friends. The third area that can cause conflict and strife is gossip. So pride, anger, and gossip, and we overcome them with humility, understanding, and then I'll give you the third one. But as I read through the Proverbs here, the talebearer is a title that's given to one who gossips. A whisperer is a title given to one who gossips. Scoffer, a mocker. All these are titles given to someone who gossips. And God doesn't take gossip lightly. Because gossip, you'll see, can separate, this proverb says, can separate the best of friends. It can separate husband and wife, separate families, separate relationships. And God doesn't want that. So that's why he gives us his word to help us. Here's what we often fail to do. If I have an issue with someone, Jesus said it like this. If you bring your gift to the altar, but you remember your brother or sister has something against you, he said, hold, don't bring your gift yet. I'm not after your money. I want you to be right with each other. Go be reconciled first, then you can come give your gift. That's Matthew 5. In Matthew 18, he says, if your brother sins against you, go to them in private and work that out between you. If you can't, then get one or two trusted brothers or sisters so that every word is established. But if we don't do it God's way, then we tend to fall into gossip and that creates strife and problems. So here's where the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 18. Would you look at this? Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 17. It says, the first one to plead his cause seems right until his neighbor comes and examines him. This scripture stood out to me years ago, and I've tried, especially in what I'll say it in life. I started to say in ministry, but just in general. It's so easy to form a conclusion, maybe I should say jump to a conclusion when we first hear someone. And so to give people a chance to hear them out, the first one is gonna seem right until a neighbor comes and it's almost like in a court setting, cross-examines to give, if you want to say, their side. Now, this is how it words it in the Passion Translation. I think we have it on the screen. I'll read it to you. Same verse, the Passion Translation says, there are two sides to every story. The first one to speak sounds true until you hear the other side and they set the record straight. Wow. There are two sides to every story. The first one to speak sounds true. So I try to, people might tell me something, and I pray on that, but I try not, because words are like seeds. And what can happen is if I take that in, I can start thinking something about a person. It may not even be true. Because see, what we tend to do is we hear something or we say something, partial truth. It's designed to make another person look bad and to make us look good. Is that right? So we want to be wise. Lord, help us not to form conclusions by what we first hear when more than one person is involved. Help us, Lord, to be wise and to promote peace rather than strife. Because see, then we get on sides with one another or against each other. No strife between us. That's what we're going for today. No strife between us by the grace of God. So remember that sentence I kind of just went back over, I glanced over in Genesis 13:7. It says the Perizzites and Canaanites were then in the land. I wonder if that was more than just they lived there then. I wonder if it means here are these who don't believe in the God of Abraham. And they're watching these believers have strife between one another. I don't know this, but I wonder if one of the greatest harms to the testimony of the Church of Jesus Christ and to our Lord is more by words and hypocrisy than anything else. No strife between us. I love you. I'm not, not mad, all right? No strife between us. Let me read you these couple verses and then we'll close in James. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 9. How do we overcome gossip? Proverbs 17, 9 says, he who covers a transgression seeks what? Love overcomes gossip. He who covers a transgression, like you offended me, but I'm going to cover it with love. But he who repeats a matter separates friends. So love fulfills God's commandments. That's what the scripture teaches. Love doesn't harm a person. So if I love you, I'm not going to talk about you behind your back. If I have something that needs to be worked out, I would go to you. That's love. So love doesn't gossip because love fulfills God's commandments. And then Proverbs 26:20, the last verse in Proverbs today says this, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Where there's no fuel, if you take away the gossip, then we can come into one accord and have the power of agreement and unity. That's what God calls us to do. So we handle it the right way. I want to close with James chapter 3, if you would turn there. James chapter 3 in the New Testament. And while you're turning, I want to share something I heard. Actually, I saw it. One of the Bible apps I have, there's a verse for the day, and one of them has like a little video clip that'll go along with it. And a few weeks ago, because I don't always watch them, but for some reason this day I did. And it was a man who had been to the Western Wall praying at the Western Wall there in Jerusalem. And he witnessed a group of rabbis going at it, man, at the wall. He said, it was almost like they were so escalated, he was wondering, is this going to come to blows? And they're going at it. They got their Torah scrolls out, and they're just going back and forth. And so he's kind of, I mean, it's kind of, just, you know, you draw attention. So he watched them. He says, after a while, they roll up their scrolls, hugged each other, and walked off. And he went, the elder rabbi explained to this man, he said, you've just witnessed arguments for the sake of heaven. He said, in Jewish thought, there are only two sorts of arguments. Arguments for the sake of power, which focus on who is right and can cause division. Arguments for the sake of heaven focus on what is right, so that even when you disagree, you can choose unity. And then he said this, difference is inevitable. Division is a choice. Difference is inevitable. Division is a choice. Have you found James chapter 3? Would you look at verse 13? Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness or humility of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth, that reality. Verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. Sensual means like it's of our flesh, the sinful nature, demonic. You know, there's a demonic wisdom. Verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Then verse 17, but the wisdom from above, would you say that with me? But the wisdom from above, it says this, is first pure, it's then peaceable. The wisdom from above is gentle. Fourth, it's willing to yield. Fifth, it's full of mercy and good fruits. Sixth, it's without partiality. And seven, the wisdom from above is without hypocrisy. Verse 18, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The Bible tells us here that sowing peace will produce a harvest of righteousness. Now I want to ask you this. I've asked you to focus on a proverb throughout these last few weeks. This week, I want to ask you to focus on James 3:17. We'll start today, okay? There are seven virtues of wisdom from above. The first one is pure. Would you say the wisdom that is from above is first of all pure. So you got it today. So let's think about that. Think about it today. And then tomorrow, we'll focus on the second one. Lord, how can I live this wisdom out? Your wisdom, godly wisdom, wisdom from above. And then the third, and go on. And so by the end of the week, we'll have covered all seven. And I believe God will give us wisdom and application of how we can apply it to our lives and live it out. Now, if you want a reminder of this, I put it on our website. You can go to our website and you can read my notes. It's clmfamily.org from the pastor, and you can scoot down and you'll see my notes, even that little story about the arguments for the sake of heaven. All right? That's on the website, clmfamily.org. As before we come to the Lord's table this morning, can we just take a moment and search our heart? And by God's grace and for his glory, I always want to emphasize that, by God's grace and for his glory, may there be no strife between us. Father, we come before you right now. And Lord, we want to give you the freedom to search our hearts, that even if we're not in strife with anyone right now that we're aware of, I thank you for that. That's a blessing. But help us to keep this in our mind and spirit so that when, just in our human walk, in our humanity, there will be disagreements that sometimes will get into strife. So help us, Lord, to be wise enough to recognize it, come together and overcome it, and trust you for the grace to walk it out. I pray for someone now here today. Maybe they are in that little, I say, season where there's strife with someone and they don't really want it. They know it's not, they don't want their heart to be that way and they don't want to hinder a testimony. I pray that you'd give us all wisdom in how to best handle it. If it's pride, that we would humble ourselves, maybe go to the person. If it's anger, we get that straight with you and seek to have a closer walk with you to grow more and to be more understanding of people. We don't know what others go through, really. Ultimately, may you help us to walk in love. And I pray that love would fill our hearts, because that's really what it's about, our heart, in such a way that even if we start to say a word of gossip that we know has no good intention, would you help us and quicken us that we would restrain our mouths and say, I'm not going to repeat this. I'm not going to spread it. I'm going to walk in love by the grace of God. In Jesus' name.